Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And our next guest, Amy Stewart, has written about wicked plants and wicked bugs. And in her latest book, The Drunken Botanist, The Plants That Create the World's Great Drinks, she trains her sights on the grains and herbs and fruits that make up some of the world's most wicked cocktails. Amy Stewart, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, thank you.
And you're right that you got the inspiration for this book from looking at a bottle of gin and realizing, hey, there's nothing in that bottle that isn't a plant. What's in gin?
Well, so gin is basically flavored vodka. And I hate to tell this to people who say that they're gin drinkers and not vodka drinkers, but that's all it is. So usually the alcohol itself is made from grains. But then there's juniper, which has to be there by law. You can't call it gin unless it's got juniper in it. And also citrus. There's almost always cardamom. There's almost always the seeds of the cilantro plant, coriander. And then it can be kind of a mysterious blend of herbs and spices beyond that. Maybe a dozen plants in all.
So listeners, here's how we'll get you involved in this conversation. We want to compile your favorite drunken botanist cocktail recipes. So call in with your favorite cocktail that highlights herbs, fruit, vegetables, whatever, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for your drunken botanist cocktail recipes. We'll also compile them on the website, so you can do it in print at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show if you prefer. And here's a bonus. We have reached out to Joel Lee Culp, a friend of the show and master bartender at the Richardson Cocktail Bar in Williamsburg. We're going to pick five of your cocktail recipes and pass them along to Joel, who's going to use them as inspiration for some new drink at the Richardson. So soon, hopefully, you'll be able to walk into the Richardson and order a Brian Lehrer Show inspired by one of you. 212-433-WNYC or post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show as we continue with Amy Stewart, author of The Drunken Botanist, The Plants That Create the World's Great Drinks. So you mentioned gin, and you're right that walking through a liquor store can be like visiting the world's most exotic botanical garden. You want to give us another one? Any other one?
Well, really, it's every other one. You know, if you think about it, I mean, tequila comes from agave, which is a really interesting plant that's actually very closely related to lilies. People think of it as being more like a cactus. Oh. It's actually closer to lilies and asparagus and hyacinths. You know, rum and sugarcane, this bizarre overgrown grass that fills itself up with sucrose, which we use to make rum. And, you know, vodkas can be made from anything. So I've had vodkas made from apples. I've had vodkas made from maple sugar, you know, the sap of a tree. So I think really the point is there's really nothing alcoholic you can drink that isn't wildly botanical and really kind of interesting in terms of the history and the science behind it.
And also joining us for a few minutes alongside Amy Stewart is Joel Lee Culp, owner of the Richardson. Hey, Joel, thanks for joining us.
Oh, not a problem. Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Amy.
Hi, Joel.
And thanks for agreeing to take one of our listener cocktail recipes and feature it at the bar. But tell me, we were just hearing from Amy about some of the herbs and plants and pretty much everything. Is this something you're aware of while you're mixing a drink?
Well, it's definitely something that we keep in mind. You know, when you're trying to build a cocktail, it's something that you can play on quite often. I can also say that I couldn't agree with Amy more when people say that they're just not gin drinkers. They're only vodka drinkers. And that's something that I'm always trying to make converts over to the gin world.
Do you have any particular favorite flavor or plant you like to incorporate into your drinks?
Favorite flavor or plant? I don't know. I guess for myself and for us as a team at the bar, if we're talking about plants, I guess we'd be trying to get plant flavors from just other liquors. You know, in thinking about this segment, I kept thinking about just quinquinas and gentian root. We use a product called Cocchi Americano quite a bit, which is it's an Italian aperitif wine that has a bitter root flavor to it.
Yeah, I love those bitter flavors. And gentian in particular, you know, it's this big yellow flowered, it's kind of wildflower that grows in the Swiss Alps, but the roots are enormous. They've been used as medicine for centuries and actually do have medicinal qualities. There's some really interesting research being done right now about possible anti-malarial possibilities. And also, they do have a pretty powerful effect on the digestive system, even if you don't drink it. Even if you just swish it around in your mouth, it comes into contact with nerve endings in your mouth and starts sending signals to your brain that get you hungry. So gentian's a beautiful thing.
Jolie Culp of the Richardson and Greenpoint, thanks for coming on for a couple of minutes. And again, folks, Joel's going to take one of your cocktail recipes and incorporate it into the menu at the Richardson. Maybe he will call it the Brian Lehrer Show. So nice. We'll check back with you, Joel. Thanks so much. And let's hear one or two of those recipes right now that people are going to suggest. And, of course, folks, this is a great thing for you to do in writing. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and write down that recipe. But Billy in Astoria's got one. Hi, Billy.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What are you drinking?
Well, these days I've been doing a little bit of beer cocktails because I'm finding that the hop is such an interesting flavor. However, I've been getting onto bullet rye, which has that nice peppery flavor. I muddle a little bit of fresh rosemary, dash of chartreuse, and a dash of something called Underberg, which is a German digestif that's really, really complex and full of flavor. And then I splash it with a little bit of, it's called Belhaven Twisted Thistle. It's a Scottish IPA with a lot of the American IPAs have a much more bitter profile. This has more of a grapefruit ester. And I tell you, half ounce of that, and it, you have one of the most complex herbaceous cocktails that's just so good for this season.
Billy is totally into it. Billy, yes. Let me ask you to, if you can, go to our website and post it in writing as well at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Amy Stewart?
Yeah, you know, beer in cocktails is such a beautiful thing. It adds a little fizz and a nice kind of robust and sometimes bitter backbone to a drink that might otherwise be too sweet and too simple. So I love that. I love a little splash of beer in a drink.
Hawken in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Hawken.
Oh, hello. Yes, thanks for taking my call. I was going to tell you about gentian root, although someone told me it's already been brought up.
It's been brought up, but, you know, it's a wonderful thing. What do you like to drink it in?
Well, I mean, I'm just happy they use it in all the bitters, like the Fernets and the Amaros. There's one particular Amaro called Cardamaro, which involves thistles and artichoke, and you mix that with a nice malted gin, which is something that's coming up right now.
Right.
You know, slightly oak-aged, something like the can't remember what it's called right now.
Like the Old Tom gins or a
there's
nice
one
Geneva.
Called Ransom. That's my favorite.
Ransom,
right now.
Yeah, good stuff.
Hawken, thank you. Post it on the site if you can at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Oh, here's one about a plant in a cocktail. Mike in Bayside, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
What you got?
For New Year's Eve, I wanted to make it a special celebration, so I actually was able to obtain some ground-up marijuana, and I used that to infuse into some high-quality vodka. I let it sit for about a month, actually, just like at room temperature, and then I actually took some heat to it, which I know is risky with alcohol. Only had a little tiny alcohol fire, but I put it out very quickly. And it wound up. I used thermometers and stuff to make sure it didn't get too hot. And I think it was a pretty effective infusion. My friends really enjoyed it. And the best part is it actually really tasted wonderful. I'm not a big drinker of infused liquors, but it really had some interesting floral flavor that reminded me of gin and really of almost smelling a flower. Like, it really was an interesting flavor.
Or as scientists might call it, polydrugs. Mike, thank you. Posted on our site. And that's not in your book, The Drunken Botanist, The Plants That Create the World's Great Drinks, I presume?
It's not in the book, although I wrote a book called Wicked Plants that was about illegal, immoral, and dangerous plants. And marijuana was in that. And, of course, I live in Humboldt County in California. So this is a plant I know something about. And here's my word of caution about that and certainly any other intoxicating plants. is that when you take a plant and you drop it into alcohol, what you're doing is you're putting it into a solvent to extract its active ingredients. And there's no way for you to know what the dose is or to have any control over that process. A few years ago, it was really trendy for people to make what they called cigar bitters, meaning bitters with tobacco leaves dropped in. And what you're doing is extracting a very powerful dose of nicotine into alcohol and offering a dosage of that that you don't know anything about to your customers or your friends. So I'm gonna advise a word of caution and say maybe don't try this at home.
So marijuana is not in the book, but you do write about sorghum, which some of our listeners may be barely familiar with, but is actually the fourth largest crop grown in the United States. Pot is up there somewhere. But why does this one grain, sorghum, turn up in so many different drinks?
You know, it's all over the world. Sorghum is gluten-free, so we see it a lot in beer here in the United States. There's somebody in Indiana making a wonderful rum-type drink out of sweet sorghum molasses. But the thing about sorghum is it's very drought-tolerant, so it's grown throughout Africa and throughout Asia and has fed people in times of famine. And throughout Africa, people make this homemade beer, this cloudy, opaque, low-alcohol beer that's actually pretty nourishing.
Desmond in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Desmond.
Hi. Reconstituted beer. A spoonful of Marmite, which is a byproduct of beer.
Oh, no. You must be Australian, the dreaded Marmite.
No, I'm British. Devon-born, Devon-bred, thick in the arm and thick in the head.
Nice. So Marmite as a cocktail ingredient, do tell.
So Marmite, which Australians live on, but just about everybody else considers like castor oil.
I'm a fan, personally.
You love it.
I will defend it. I love it on toast.
Desmond, thank you. Diana and Elizabeth, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, Brian. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What you got?
Okay, so I heard that you were talking about gin, and I had to call and give my opinion on it because it's definitely my favorite drink. I would recommend Hendrix. It's a little bit hard to find, but the price is really good. So if you get some basil leaves, a little bit of Hendrix, maybe one lime, and you juice it with maybe one or two tablespoons of maybe agave and some ice, it'll be the perfect cocktail for summer, I assure it.
So the lime juice, the cilantro, posted on our site at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And isn't that the exact gin that inspired your book?
Well, it was aviation gin from Portland, actually. But Hendrix is fantastic. And one of the things I love about it is they add, right at the end of their process, they add a little cucumber and a little rose petal, which are difficult flavors to work with, and they figured out how to do it. It makes it very floral and botanical.
Oh, on sorghum, you have this great story in the book about Richard Nixon. And is it Mao? Mao Zedong? Toasting each other with a sorghum-based drink on Nixon's historic trip to China in 1972?
Right. There's this high-proof spirit called Mutai that they make out of sorghum in China. And, you know, Alexander Haig went ahead of time to scout it out before Nixon went and telegraphed back saying, under no circumstances is the president to drink in response to toasts. But Nixon lifted his glass every time and downed this stuff. And I've had it. It's pretty rough. Interesting. The good stuff is really interesting, but it can be a little hard to take. Dan Rather was on that trip, and he said that it tasted like liquid razor blades.
Marmite. Garrett in Carroll Gardens. You're on WNYC. Hi, Garrett.
Hi, Amy. I wanted to ask your opinion on some of these cocktail bars in the city collecting vintage herbal liqueurs. We're seeing places like Pouring Ribbons and the Experimental Cocktail Club collecting a lot of vintage bottlings of chartreuse and Campari and absinthe, and I just wanted to know if you've tried any of these and if they give any insights into how agriculture was 60 years ago and how it has aged over time in the glass.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that question, because part of the context of this whole thing is that just as there are artisanal other things that are hip in the city these days, there are artisanal cocktail drinks.
Oh, yes.
And so I think Garrett's talking somewhat about that trend. And on his particular question?
Right, yeah. You know, it is always a delight to get to taste something that was bottled 60 years ago or 100 years ago. And it's quite likely that they have changed considerably in the bottle. You know, I mean, these molecules are they're in alcohol, so they are going to continue to kind of undergo some chemical reactions. We don't know how they were stored, if they were exposed to light. But
aging is nice. Are they safe when they're that old?
I think I have no reason to believe that they're not safe. But whether they taste like they did 60 years ago, I kind of doubt it. I imagine that they have really been through a transformation.
All right. Amy Stewart, author of The Drunken Botanist, The Plants That Create the World's Great Drinks, is the subtitle. And we've actually posted three of Amy's favorite cocktail recipes on our site, wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. A gin and tonic that features jalapeno, a slow gin fizz, and a classic Mai Tai, not a Mao Tai. Check out the recipes and keep adding your own as we try to find the one that will be featured at the Brooklyn Cocktail Bar, the Richardson, hopefully under the name Brian Lehrer Show, the Brian Lehrer. I'll have a Brian Lehrer Show. Amy Stewart's new book is The Drunken Botanist, The Plants That Create the World's Best Drinks. She'll be reading tonight at Word Bookstore, 126 Franklin Street in Brooklyn. Thank you so much for joining us. Are you serving at Word tonight?
Oh, yes, we are. There are treats in store if you come out.
Keep posting them, folks. And Amy Stewart, has been so much fun. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.